No. But it's not the normal Rabbein. It's not one of the normal Rishon. I have to find who Rabbein Yisrael would be. It's too late. Well, maybe Truma Sadeshin, but the Shita Mikbetz is before the Truma Sadeshin. Okay. Let me send you a WhatsApp so you can all follow. Okay. Here are two pieces we'll read. It continues to the next piece. I'll send you two pictures. Okay. Nice pieces in the Shita. You really start to appreciate how the Shita on Bava Kama is much more important than, let's say, it is on, I don't know, Bava Metzia, because of Bava Metzia, you have the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, Tosas, the Bene Peretz, Tosas, the Rashmi. See, by the time you get there, most of the ideas have already been talked about. Same thing with Bava Basra to a degree. So, generally, on Bava Kama, we're more invested in the Shita because we don't really have the Ramban, we don't have the Ritva, we don't have some of the classics. So, we read the Shita with the best, it's more frequent. Okay? Again, not. Halavai, you read every Shita, every parak, every Mesechta. So, let's first see in the name of Tamidei Rabbeinu Yisrael. Here's one of the Balei Tosas. Pagan iskim amona. Srichim liyashiv. Lididei. So he's assuming in his question, he's going to reject it, like Tosas, that Rapapa feels that it's regular orche. So it's regular orche. Lama yesh chiluk ben keren l'regel. L'peresha Tosas. According to Tosas, how do you differentiate between keren tam and regel? Our question. So evidently, I wasn't the first smart person that ever learned the sukkah. I probably saw Ben Yisrael. I don't remember when I first put the shiur together. Oh, that's a great question. That's at the heart of the sukkah. Right, the sugyas that we're learning, I've worked on for 25 years. So at some point, I saw Rabbeinu Yisrael more, and that should be at the centerpiece of the sugya. Okay, the Pirshu Lekaman Tosas himself said on Daf Tesvav the Keren Ruchei the Mekol Makom. He disagrees with Tosas and Azeko Matzei Kumalchem. Even if you hold like Rapapa, it's not regular Ruchei. Don't say that. Aval Ein Lomar, you want to say like a Beit Harigan that it's regular Ruchei and the Chatzin Ezek discount is Chas Rachmana. That's the discount? That's how you view Chatzi Nezek? It's regular Orche, it's just a formal discount like Abiko? Everything has its Ptur. Ptur means you're Ptur on all Talmud, you're Ptur on all Kelim, you're Ptur on Rishon Sarabim. Here, a Ptur means a Ptur be a Ptur. Say the carrot, it's Ptur on Monday, Chayiv on Tuesdays. It's Ptur on Adays, Chayiv on. A Ptur is your Ptur. Like Kalim and Bor, like Talmud and Esh, like Rishus Aram Vashem Varegel. So don't tell me this is a Ptur. So that's his issue. If any Yisrael's issue is A, they're global issues. He's thinking more globally. He's a global thinker. He's saying the ripples that this Shita of Tosas create are unacceptable to me. Number one, you'd have a hard time differentiating Karen from Shem Varegel. Number two, how do you explain Chassidus? It's a Chassid discount that doesn't sound like the other discounts. There's a Gileon Atosas, what I mean by Gileon Atosas, where Atosas was not written like this. Atosas are written like, you know, Kuntrasin, like Rashi. And then what people would do is, remember, there were no printing presses. So what happened was, this is true of Rashi also. They'd send the Kuntras of Rashi to Johannesburg. Someone would pick up in Johannesburg and write, and he'd write his own Chiddushim on the side. Now, that Kuntras would make its way to, I don't know, Alexandria, and then they wanted to reproduce that Kuntras. It was all done manually. Right? There was no printing presses. Someone had to look at the letter and read the letter. Generally, because it was such tedious work, they didn't give the big Tachmini Chacham the job of printing. They gave the job to dummies, people that couldn't learn. It's just manual, Aleph, Aleph, Gimel, Gimel. So they gave someone that didn't know how to learn. So he wasn't able to discern what was the original and what was just someone that wrote on the Gilead. So this is written on some Gilead, at some, but evidently through the passage of time, the Shizim HaKubetzos thought this was, like, for example, in Rashi. Rashi El HaTorah, I'm not an academician, but probably, at least 20% of Rashi Alatar isn't originally Rashi. It was Gilyonis that were added, and sometimes you see in Rashi Svarim Acherim, Rashi Yashan. If you want, at some point, go to the library and take out a version of Rashi called the Berliner Rashi. He was an academician in Germany, and he worked very, a Jewish academician, he worked very, very hard through all sorts of proofs and linguistic associations and analysis to try to say what is real. Again, to me, it's less riveting. So it's not Rashi. Okay. It's something that our people have learned for hundreds of years. And I call it Rashi, and everyone knows. Anyone who knows knows. Okay, it may not be Rashi, but to me, that's the whole debate between academic learning and what we call classical learning. You know, is this exactly what Abaye said, or exactly what Rebbe said? or was Abaye influenced by the fact that he lived here and Rava lived there? I don't care. They talked about ideas, and those ideas get a life of their own, and they germinate and develop. And throughout the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that have dealt with those ideas seriously, so even if it's not that original source, it's still part of my Masara. Because my Masara isn't tagged to whether it's exactly the way that person said it or not, or the Gemara was revised. Okay, but this is the Gemara of the Vilna Gaon. I'm happy to climb into his mind and understand Torah through his mind. I'm not in any way denouncing. I'm just saying that's why I don't spend my time doing it. Some people feel it's a very important work, as long as it's complementary. Some people use academic tools to tear the authority, to denounce the authority of Torah, and some will use it to compliment. So it could be a compliment. It could be it could be very adversarial. So it's compliments. Right? You should accept anything that can complement your learning and deepen your understanding. Oh, Abaye lived at this period of history, so maybe that gives me a better sense as to why Abaye said it at that point in time. But however, the ideas have become eternalized over the last 1,800 years. So whether Abaye said it because of this social pressure or not, they're larger than Abaye after he said it. But I still want to know. I like Abaye. I don't know why Abaye said what he said. You know, interesting, but I don't have enough time to be both. So the same thing with the Shittim Gemetzes. He's quoting Gilyonos that appeared on the side of Gemara, on the side of... There's a whole history of Gilyonos, the things that were written in Gilyonos. People, historians, spend a lot of time saying it's really interesting work. And, you know, to me, it's personally interesting. If you find historians with podcasts online that... You know, really no areas that I'm not aware of, but the production of Torah, and give me a sense, right? It's not that everyone just sat down with a cup of tea and wrote the Chiddushin Torah. The history of the processing and the production of Chiddushin Torah is a very fraught history. People didn't have the money, Torah was destroyed, the Abarbanel, evidently there's some story about the Abarbanel that he was exiled twice, once from Spain, once from Portugal, and he had his entire parish on Devarim, I think it is, that was ransacked by looting Gentiles, and he lost it. That's it, he didn't have a file, he didn't have a USB. Like at some point he shows up on some island in Greece as he's traveling around and he goes to a flea market basically and someone's selling his manuscript on Devarim. Basically when you're reading Abarbanel on Devarim, like he found it in some like flea market in a Greek port somewhere. You know, the people that took it sold it to the pirates and the pirates brought it over and like Baruch Hashem found it. Not every story has such a happy ending, obviously. Many stories are much more tragic. Anyway, that's a long-winded introduction for this Gilyon. Kasa Batosis. They're all arguing with Tosis. Kasa Batosis, who felt that Rapapa believes that Karen Tam is regular Orche with all the ripples. But he's less concerned with the ripples, more concerned with the Gemara, which I secretly withheld from you. I don't want it to be a surprise. Okay, what's the Gemara? Kasa Batosis. To me, Karen Loasi, to Karen Orche. Nira. I disagree. Laman the Amar Paganisk Mamona. Yami. Rapapa. Karen Lohabi Orche. Okay, me the Karele Riptar from Mishuna. We'll get to Riptar from later. So he's not a globalist. He's not worried about the implications of Chatzin Ezek, the implications of categorization. He's not, I've got Gemaras that call it Mishuna. Don't tell me it's Orche. And not only that, but according to you, Tosus, any Nezek that is Mishuna is Pater, according to Rav Papa. It's only according to Rav Huna, because according to Rav Papa, it's regular Orche, so Mishuna Dik Nezek should be Pater, like Kal Badachal Imri, Mishuna Dachal Taranagoli. What about this Gemara? Which Gemara? Your Testament base. Gemara says in your Testament base. Excuse me. Mishnah. Ketzed Hashem Moedas Lechol Seroila Behema Moedas Lechol Peres Virakos Achla Ksus V'Kelim Mishalim Chatzin Esek. Why should Ksus V'Kelim be Chatzin Esek? You and I, aside from a great Rishon who lived in Spain, which we'll reference in a moment, you and I believe that anytime it's Yichatz Nezek, it's Tam. Wait a second, eating Ksus V'Kelim is Mishuna. Karen is Orche. Didn't Tosus just tell me that if you hold like Rapapa and Karen is Orche, even from Tam, then you have no address for Mishuna Dik Nezikim like Kal Badach Limre? And the only way to be Mechayev Kal Badach Limre is to hold like Rapuna Breit of Yeshua Hashem Pagneska Knossa. Same thing. Now, the answer to this question could be, okay, the Mishnah is passing like Rav Papa. You're right, we're passing like Rav Papa. This Mishnah is going to Rav Papa. We read if you would not hold like that. The other answer is, which you see many times, there is one Rishon, who may have held like Tosus. I don't know. There are big, big debates who he held like, who felt that you could have a Chatzin Ezek even if it's not Karen. Chatzin Ezek is not a Karen exclusive experience, a phenomena. It applies even to Shane. Who was that Rishon, I don't remember? Rambam. Rambam says Kabbal Dachal Imri is regular Shane, but it's Shane that's Chatzin Ezek. So the Rambam is a whole different geometry, and that may allow the Rambam to adopt Tosus's position. That's already higher analysis. Can I fuse the Rambam's position on Chatzin Ezek with Tosus's position that Karen is not Mishuna?
Okay, let's not go there. But he believed that it's not true, and therefore he ritvasizes and says, therefore, El de Pligi, I'm going to say like the Ritva, the man di amr kanasa lo habi klal orche, according to Puna Bredi, Rishur is not orche at all. Have a man di amr monu, have the orche ksas, have a lo legamri. The orche legamri, exis vekel and lipater, and we shouldn't the ksas lav orche, chas rachman alay abikon. Chasi nezik tam is not some formal discount, chasi nezik tam is less pshia, because it's less expected, even according to Reb Papa, even though he calls it Tzam Shavarim Labachas Kashimra Kaime, and it's Mammon, doesn't mean it's regular Orche, it's still a little bit non-Orche, you can't prevent it, you can't predict it, and therefore the Chatzin Nezek is logical, it's not formal. Okay, this is the first part of our analysis. The first part of the analysis is, we sense that Reb Papa was right, I'm sorry, the Reb Puna Bredi Rishu was right, Chatzin Nezek is a Knas, it's irregular, it's Tzam Shavarim Labachas Kashimra Kaime, it's unexpected, it's a Knas. What was Reb Papa responding? Was Reb Papa orchestizing Karen in total? Or was Reb Papa just saying it's not a knas, but it's certainly not orche, leaving a lot of room for Karen, a lot of room for Chatzin Nezek, a lot of room for Meshunadik Nezikin, without trying to create the ripples that Tosos and other Rishonim created? Okay. Now let's turn back to Reb Papa. Excuse me. Excuse me. From Reb Papa to Reb Huna Bredi Rabbi Yoshua. Reb Huna Bredi Rabbi Yoshua, he clearly holds that it's not Orche, right? He's not an Orche man. So we don't have this whole, how much Orche is it? He holds it's classic Mishuna, right? And that's why we possibly like Reb Papa. And you can claim that any Gemara that doesn't state that it's Reb Huna Bredi Yoshua is really Reb Papa. So basically, Baba Kama is Reb Papa in logic. And just because the Mishnah says that Yochai Chatzin Nezek and Ksus V'Kan, that may only be according to Reb Papa, which says, tells us, maybe. We possibly like, I'm sorry, did I say Reb Papa? And Reb Huna Bredi Yoshua, it's a Kenas. I always get this wrong. It's like a mental block in my mind because we're so used to passing like Reb Papa. Maybe passing like Reb Yoshua. Passing like Reb Yoshua in this Gemara, that's a knas. And that's irregular. And we were thinking it's irregular, lower levels of Pshia, lower expectation, lower predictability, less Pshia, reduces the Chatzin Nezek. Namely, according to Reb Yoshua, now we're going to start talking within his sheet. Paganitzka Knasa. The reason you pay half is because Karen is less of a Masik. And either you're totally innocent, as the Gemara makes it sound, because it was totally unanticipated, and this is just the fine to motivate you. Or if you want, you could say, you know what, the fine is just the reason the Torah is suggesting, but the content is, you're still a little bit of a Pshia. If not for the fine, that wouldn't be enough of Pshia to make you chai. The fine says this is enough Pshia. It sounds like the Torah just fined you, oh, you're the best person in the world, you're not a Pshia, we're just going to fine you for motivation. They're saying, you know what, under normal circumstances, the way the normal Bava Kama playbook works, this is not enough of Pshia, even in Mechaygu Chatzin Nezek. Because of a Knas, we will recognize and acknowledge this level of Pshia as enough to be Mechaygu. But essentially, the only difference, or the reason that Tam pays Chatzin Nezek, the difference between Tam and Mord, is less Pshia, maybe no Pshia at all, or maybe less Pshia. But the gyration, the offset between Tam and Mord, is gauged in levels of Pshia. That's what you, I, and everyone else in the world would say according to Reb Huna Bredi Rishu. Stam Shvarim Bechaz Kashimur Kami. You didn't anticipate. If you didn't anticipate, you're not a Pshia. Eitan, either you're not a Pshia at all, and this is just a fine, maybe not even a fine for you. Maybe you're such a penitent guy that after one damage, Chas Shalom of Noam, you'll klap al-chein, go to the mikvah and run off the tzvat and become the biggest tzaddik. But if we fine you, then Isha Daniel, evil Isha Daniel, we're paying attention. He'll watch his animal a little more. Maybe the fine is global, it's social. Finding you, finding other people. Or a slightly different articulation, you have a Pshia. Without there being a concept of Knas, that Pshia would not be enough to make you Chai, so it's not classic Mammon. But the Knas says, and that leaves open the option for someone that's totally faultless to be Pater from the Knas. If you feel it's just a Knas that motivates you, then you can never, never be Pater from Chatzin Nezek. If you hold it's a Knas that validates a certain level of Pshia, or not validates, but certifies it as enough to create a Knas, then maybe you'd be Pater if you're not Pshia. What happens when we start to find differentials or different differentials between Tam and Mord? That may tip us off to the fact that Tam and Mord are not just different by their levels of Shia, but different categorically. Is Tam different categorically according to Reb Huna Bredi Yeshua? And then, of course, we'll flip it back and ask what Reb Papa would say. Is the difference between Tam and Mord just levels of Shia? Just Cheska Shimor? Tam is b'cheska shimur, unpredictable, can't anticipate it, you're not a poshea.
Mord is lav b'chesk Hashem, because it's already proven to be an aggressive animal. Therefore, you are a pshat, because it is predictable. Or the difference between tam and mord is more than just how much you can predict and how much of a pshat you are. To prove this, and we'll just start now, we'll continue this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. To prove this, let's take a look at the Tosfos. Okay, but to understand the Tosfos, we have to first read the Gemara. Okay, it's a Gemara which was on the end of the Makaros. I don't assume everyone saw it. It's not. I mean, it's a pretty easy Gemara, but Tosfos gives a twist. So let's at least read the Gemara, because it's a continuation of Tesvav and Aleph. On Tesvav and Aleph, the Gemara says as follows: why did this whole Karen conversation come up at all? Because if you remember, the Mishnah on Daf Test Yud Dalet Amud Beis, which we saw yesterday, talked about a scenario where the Mazik and the Nizik share Tashlum. The Nizik and the Mazik be Tashlum. So Gemara tries to uncork what that means. So Gemara says, Tanan, six lines from where it gets wide, Tesvav and Aleph, Hanizik v'amazik b'tashlumin, Ishlam and Malnei Apagin Iskim Amona. According to your Papa, it makes sense. Really, 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 the Nizik of Tom deserves 100%. It's Mamona. Torah gives a discount. That discount makes it as if the Nizik relinquishes some of the money he deserves. Nizik of Tom deserves 100, Mamona. He gets 50, so it's like he pays a little bit. Ela lamandi amar palgan iska kinasa. According to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, how much does the Nizik really deserve? Nothing. Because there's no pshiyah. Hashta delavdi day shakil. He's giving 50% windfall. B'tashlum and isa? This Nizik deserves nothing according to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, because there's no fault. Stam shram v'chaska shimur kaimi. So why is chatzi nezik a case of Nizik v'amazik b'tashlumin? Chatzi nezik is a gain for them. So this Mishnah makes sense according to Rebbe. Palaganizik of Amona, Nizik of Tom deserves 100, he only gets 50, like he paid a little bit. But according to Rebbe Rebbe Yeshua, Nizik deserves nothing by Tom, and he gets 50%, that's making money. It's not like he's relinquishing money. Where it says, you're right. Lo nitzucha l'pchas neveh. As we said yesterday, remember yesterday, share, I hope, is that according to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, Palgan Nizka Kenasa is not the scenario the Mishnah is referring to. Palgan Nizka Kenasa is really where the Nizik gains, he doesn't lose. Where does the Nizik lose? Pchas Nevela. According, and we already said yesterday that the concept that the Nizik loses by Pchas Nevela sounds more like Yisrael Dov, less like a Zarya. That really, according to that, he's not losing, it's Nevela. According to Yisrael Dov, he's being paid by Nevela at a reduced rate, or a lower rate than it's actually worth right, or higher it's actually worth right now. It means he's getting less money. Where it says Pchas Nevela, Hatani Le'Resha. We already had this in the previous Mishnah. Milamisha Bailim Tashlumi Nezik, Milamisha Bailim Metablim Benevela. We already have Pchas Nevela. Remember, the Gemara in Dapir learned it out from Chafti Benisko, Chafti Betashlumi Nezko. So Pchas Nevela Lenizik is already latent in a previous Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Tesimit Beis. Chafti Benisko as opposed to Tashlumi Nezko makes it sound. Tashlumi Nezko as Benisko makes it sound like Benisik loses. So I need a Mishnah on Daf Yer Dalet Amid Beis to tell me Pchas Nevela according to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua already had the halacha Pchas Nevela embedded in a previous Mishnah. So Gemara says, Chada b'tam b'chada b'mord. One for tam, one for mord. B'tzvicha. D'yesh b'nei tam, I would have thought. Abel tam, no, b'tzvicha. Okay, so now two Mishnah is telling Pchas Nevela, one by tam, one by mord. Okay. Tashma. Now I have a b'raisa. Ma bein tam l'mord. Shatam mishalim chatzi nezik migufo. Mord mishalim nezik shalim min aliyah. V'misa listening amiha. Tam ein mishalim apiyatzma, mord mishalim apiyatzma. Second question. After we got to questioning against Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, how are we going to understand this line of the Mishnah on Daf Yudalet Amud Beis, Nizik v'Mazik b'Tashlumin, we have another kasha against Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua. There's a braisa that says, what's the big difference between Tam and Mord? Tam pays Chatzi Nezik Megufa, Mord pays Nezik Shalom Me'Aliyah. Wait a second. According to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, there's another difference between Tam and Mord. What's the big difference between Tam and Mord according to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua? Since it's a Knas, and Mord isn't a Knas. Tom is mordi b'knas pater, mord is mordi b'mord chayiv. If the owner of the animal comes and says, my animal damages the Tom, he's pater, mordi b'knas is pater, whereas according to, whereas the mord would be mammon, be mordi b'mammon is chayiv. So there's Bryce that says, oh, this is a big difference between Tom and mord, chatzi nezik migufa, as opposed to nezik me'aliyah. According to Rav, Papa, that's the big difference, because everything else is the same. Mordi b'mord chayiv, mordi b'tam chayiv is not a knas. Whereas according to Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, if Tam is a Knas and Mord is not, why does this Bryce mention that other difference? And Mord is Knas, but Tam is part there, whereas Mord and Mord is Chayiv. Gemara says, you're right. Gemara says, Tana B'Shayer. You're right, this Bryce didn't list the comprehensive list. It only listed the one that it was interested in teaching. It didn't list. Wait a second. My Shai Adai Shai, what else it'll leave out? Where it sounds like Shai or Chatzi Kofer. Left out Chatzi Kofer. Namely, that a Tam is different than a Muad, that unlike a Muad that pays Kofer, a Tam doesn't even pay Chatzi Kofer. Kofer doesn't exist by Tam. That's another difference of Kofer. That's another difference between Tam and Muad that the Raisa didn't talk about. I'm going to integrate it in Yeshua. Tam doesn't pay Kofer. Not even a Chatzi Kofer. If Tam would pay Chatzi Kofer, then that wouldn't be a difference. That would just be a holdover of the real difference. Chatzi Nezek for damages, Nezek Shalom for Muad, Chatzi Kofer for killing, Kofer Shalom for killing as a Muad. The difference between Tam and Muad that the Brisa omitted is number one, according to Rafuna Brady of Yeshua, since it's a Knas, number one, it didn't talk about Muad Knas. Number two, it didn't talk about Kofer. The Kofer is exclusive to Muad and doesn't exist at all by Tam. Okay, now here's the funny Gemara. Don't tell me that leaving out kofer as a difference between tam and muad is something the Mishnah left out. Hamani, who is this brisa? Rabbi Yossi Haglili da amar tam mishanim chatzi kofer. There is a dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that a tam pays chatzi kofer. And of course, if tam pays chatzi kofer, kofer really isn't the difference between tam and muad. It's the old difference of chatzi versus shel. Okay, nice brisa. Bryce is attacking Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua. According to you, there's a difference missing in the Bryce, namely, Motiv Knas is Pater Batam, and Motiv Mord is Chayiv. Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua says, you know what? It left something out. What else will leave out Kofar? Kofar is Pater Batam in total, and was Chayiv and Mord. Where says, by the way, you're wrong. It's not an omission, because this Bryce is like Yosef, that holds a Chatzi, Tam pays Chatzi Kofar. If that's the way to read the Gemara, then it ends without answering the original question. We have canceled Kofar as a possible Shear. The fact that the Braisa didn't say Kofar is not a Shear because it's included within Chatzin Ezek and Ezek Shelech. So we still have a Kasha in front of Rabbi Yeshua. Because of this, Tosfos believes as follows. If you don't follow the whole logic, it's fine. I just want you to get the punchline. That Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position that you pay Chatzin Kofar by Tam is only according to Rav Papa that Halganiska is Mamona. According to Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua, that Palganisk is Kenasa, there's no way to get to Rabbi Yosef Aglili's Chatzi Kofer by Tam. Therefore, when the Gemara says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, this Brisa, that only affects you if you're a Papa. According to your Papa, Tam is Mamon, so if Tam is Mamon, you can be Chayav Chatzi Kofer according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. But if Tam is Kenas, then there's no way to be Mechayav Kofer even according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. This whole response, the Brisa is Rabbi Yosef Aglili Chatzi Kofer, Chatzi Kofer would only exist according to Rav Papa, that Palganisk is not. If Palganisk is Kenasa, you don't get Kofer at all. Let's see Tosis. It's a strange Tosis. Let's read it together. Imi Shum Chatzi Kofer Lav Shir, Perish, the Likshi the Mandi Amar, Palganisk Mamona, Maishai the High Shire. The Lo Shire the Chatzi Kofer. The Hamani Biyosek Lili. Namely, Biyosek Lili, being Machayim Chatzi Kofer, and being the Baal HaMemor in this Brisa, and therefore justifying, oh, there's many things missing from the Brisa of your Biyosek Lili, because or this is not a Shear, it's only according to the Amma Palganiska Mamona. Look at the beginning of Tosas. Whereas according to the Amma Palganiska Knasa, you can't be Mechayev Chatzi Kofer. The answer is why. After all, the only difference according to the Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua between Tam and Muad is levels of Shear. Tam is less levels of Shear. Muad has higher levels of Shear. Tam is unpredictable, it's a Knas. Muad is predictable. It's reflected in the payment. Half payment for less predictability / less Shia. Full payment for more predictability, more Shia. And why don't I just take that system and transfer it over to Kofar according to Yosef Aglili? Okay, more predictability, more Shia by more full Kofar. Less predictability, less Shia by Tam, Chatzi Kofar. You could claim that there's no such thing as Chatzi Kofar. That's the position of the Rabbanim who argue in Yosef Aglili. Kofar is either all or nothing. Okay, that's your position, that's a Chiddush in Kofar. But we're operating within Rabbi Yosef Aglili Shita. Rabbi Yosef Aglili recognized Chatzi Kofer. That's a Shita. Yet, Tosa says, based on his way of reading the Gemara, that Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who does recognize Chatzi Kofer, it's only if you hold like Rav Papa. That Chatzi Nezek is Mamona. If you hold like Huna Brady of Yeshua, there's no way to pay Chatzi Kofer, even according to the Chatzi Kofer people. For Rabbanan or Rabbi Yosef Aglili, they feel as though it's either oral or nothing. Forget about it. Don't even think about Chatzi Kofer. But those who do certify and accredit Chatzi Kofer, namely Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Tosfos says, based on this very thing, the Gemara, that would only apply if you hold Paganiska Gemara. Paganiska Kanasa cannot be Karpa. Why? If the only difference between Tam and Mord were levels of Shia, and those levels of Shia determine the levels of payments, so okay, take that whole system, level of Shia, level of payment, full of Shia, full of payment, partial of Shia, partial of payment, and move it over from regular compensation to Kofar. And say, if a Tam kills a human being, pay Chatzi Kofar, if a Mord kills a human being, pay Kofar Shalom. Just like if a Tam damages your Peros, you pay Chatzi Nezek, because it's partial liability, partial negligence, whereas if a Tam Mord eats your Peros, you pay Nezek Shalom. Here we see a difference that can't simply be slotted into levels of Shia. Levels of Shia affect how much you pay. Okay, we already know. Full payment, full Shia. Partial Shia, partial payment. Just say, full Shia, Muad Kofar Shalom. Partial payment, partial Shia, partial Kofar. Okay, you want to say there's no such thing as partial Kofar? Be my guest. But not according to the SMB. It does exist on the books. So if it exists on the books, why should that be a differentiator between Rav Papa, who says, Mamun, oh, I do have Chatzi Kofar, and if Rav Shizan, there was a Kanaz, and therefore, why should you not pay Chatzi Kofar? Evidently, and I'll wait for this for tomorrow to give you the answer. Evidently, the reason that Tom pays Chatzi Nezek, and it's called a Knas, is not just the lower levels of Shia that diminish the level of liability and the level of payment. Evidently, there's something missing structurally from Chatzi Nezek Tom that, on the one hand, accounts for the lower payments, and on the other hand, accounts for the lack of any possibility of Kofar, even Chatzi Kofar. There's some ingredient that's vital for Kofar payments that doesn't exist in Tom according to Rishu. And that's the factor that makes Tom different. Not just, oh, it's less predictable, less. When the Gemara says, I'll say it a little different now, see if you can start to think about it. We talked about it in an earlier shiur. The Gemara says, Tam Shvarim, Becheska Shimur Kaimi, according to Rishu Ben Yeshua, doesn't mean, and therefore it's unpredictable and you're not a Pasha. Stam Shvarim, Becheska Shimur Kaimi may mean something else. If Stam Shvarim, Becheska Shimur Kaimi, then and because of the you pay Chatzi Nezek, and there's no way to think about Kofar. You see the lumbus? Two factors, unnatural associations, don't seem to have anything to do with one another. Let's find the common denominator. Until now, I only have one factor, according to Rav Huna Meir Yeshua. Less payment. Okay, less, I understand that. Less Shia, less payment. Tables of Shia, tables of payment. All makes perfect sense. But now we see there's another offset of Ker and Tam. Not just less payment, but no kofar. So evidently, is there a common denominator that accounts for the lack of kofar, even according to Chatzi Nezek kofar fans, Chatzi kofar fans? Maybe you feel kofar can't exist, Chatzi, that's fine. Oh, yes, glue, you have Chatzi kofar. Where would you have Chatzi kofar? Only according to Rav Papa. According to Rav Huna Meir Yeshua, it's so X, whatever that X is, it's so bad, it's so not, it's so missing, it's so deficient, that not only does your payment shrink, but also kofar is unfeasible and unimaginable. That's what we'll start talking about tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. We'll also talk about in Mitzvah Shem the levels of Shmira necessary. And we'll see this will be here that ironically you have to do a better Shmira for Karen Tom, you have to do for Karen Mord. That may also affect how we view Karen Tom. What do you mean? Same world of Shmira, more Shmira, less Shmira, more Pshia, less Pshia. Why should the level of Shmira be affected? And why should it be affected that for Tom you have to do a bigger Shmira? We'll see what that means to them. Okay, this will be our first glance at Karen. And maybe I'll talk a little bit about Chavdalit, but we'll wait for Chavdalit to really get into the nitty-gritty details, because all of this is gonna wash into how you become a Mord. How you become a Mord is a function of what a Tam is. What a Tam is a function of Rav Huna Ben Yeshua and Rav Papa and the different ways of understanding them. So really hiding in the back of this whole conversation, be really, really, if I wanted to skip around more, so let's learn Chavdalit now. Okay, I don't want to create that disorganization. Okay, we'll stop here. Hopefully I'll be in the Base Matters today till lunch, so I'll be around. Okay.